Welcome in, time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Hey, welcome in, time for another daily editorial. You know, there is so much going on right now that we're doing at least two daily editorials a day. Jimmy's on the line with me right now. I was wondering what we would talk about. He only came up with about a bazillion things that are of great importance to our country to discuss. That's why this guy is so valuable. Let's talk first of all about the consequences of the couple of mass shootings that happened last night that certainly made the national news. Less than probably an hour after this news came out, Biden went to Congress to approve a elimination of the ability to buy automatic weapons almost immediately. Jimmy, why does that bother you?
Well, first of all, it's semi-automatic. No one can legally buy automatic weapons without a specific license. Very controlled effort. But semi-automatic rifles, AR-15 style rifles, and high capacity magazines. Mm-hmm. He's gone to Congress to try to change that. What bothers me about that is the immediate response to blame the gun, and that, in fact, as you argue to reduce police funding and the ability to respond and defend yourself, and you continually take more repressive control of government, taking away individuals' rights and guns would lead to potential authoritarian control.
Yeah, it sure as hell would. I mean, there's no question about that. And that bothers me quite a bit, Jimmy. The government...
I wanted to comment. You know, people often use the left... in particular, but even, you know, people on the right, they use, well, you know, guns today are different than they were back when they wrote the Constitution and the Second Amendment. But people don't realize the purpose of, there was no standing army in the United States. Individuals made up state militias. Mm-hmm. They used their personal weapons. That's how they fought the British. The reason why they wrote specifically into the Constitution was able for people to be able to bear arms that were equal to fight any conflict to defend this nation. So people actually used to own cannons. So whatever weapon is out there, and they talk about, you know, these automatic weapons as being, you know, much different than they were in the past. No, what was equal at the time was expected for people to have in their home to defend themselves and, if necessary, defend this nation from citizen, you know, as citizen soldiers. Mm-hmm. Very different than the way people try to reshape history to, you know, from what it was then to what it is now.
Well, let's get a little more specific, Jimmy. A little more specific as to the difference.
Well, I mean, to me, it's like what's relative at the time. If right now people have semi-automatic and, you know, pistols. If back in the day, if the British Army had semi-automatic rifles and pistols, American citizens or Americans, revolutionaries would have had automatic weapons and pistols.
Okay.
If the British had cannons, the American citizen had cannons in order to form a militia, in order to defend themselves. We didn't have a standing army. We called up citizens to fight and defend this country until World War I.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and the Civil War, we did call up, but those were people that came up and fought for state regiments. They didn't fight as a national army until we actually had to form in times of war. And that's when we raised an army. We kept a navy. A navy was written into the Constitution to maintain a navy, but we would raise an army, and that came from citizens.
Jimmy, I think you have to be a little more specific, and let me tell you why I'm saying that. Right now, the main reason, I think what an uneducated person, a conclusion that person could come to based on what you just said, is there's a huge difference between the rationale of the Second Amendment, then, and the rationale of the Second Amendment today. I maintain that the right to bear arms is a very basic, basic right. And the rationale is just as basic in the sense that the Constitution says that a person has the right to keep and bear arms, but you're saying there was a difference between...
No, I'm not saying there's a difference. I'm saying that is exactly the purpose, is to be able to defend themselves and to stand up and defend this nation. And so that was written specifically to do that. There's not a difference in that. In fact, what I'm saying is it justifies individuals to have equal to and greater weapons of power than they have today, because they would need them in case to defend the nation or to defend it against a tyrannical rule.
Right.
So well, today, I don't disagree.
Of course, you need weapons similar to what the enemy is utilizing. And here we have a very definite enemy using a semi-automatic weapon, a semi-automatic rifle, et cetera, et cetera. Now, what I want to say in this case is purely and simply, we have been given by the Constitution to keep and bear arms to protect ourselves. Forget about a standing army. Forget about all of that just for a second. We have the constitutional right to keep and bear arms to simply protect ourselves. And the seriousness, the sophistication, the strength of those arms, as it was back in the Revolutionary time when the Constitution was put together, right now, the weapons that are utilized 90% of the time to protect ourselves are of equal strength to the weapons that are being used by the perpetrators.
Well, I'm just going to say this. The cops come after the crime is committed. If you want to defend your home, you need to be able to do that when it's happening, not after the fact.
Oh, exactly.
If you need to defend yourself from violence and rioting that just eclipsed this country for months. If you're a small business owner, if your house is in a neighborhood that was being overwhelmed or overrun, and your family's at risk, the left right now is attempting to take away your ability to defend against that type of mob and riot and violence.
Now I happen to agree with that. I happen to agree with that. And let me just say one thing. I'm sure you are aware of this, but the homeless population in our town, Bellingham, Washington, has moved into now a very sophisticated and expensive neighborhood in Bellingham. Is there any need to protect yourself against these homeless people? I would have to say probably. There's a reason they're homeless, okay? And I would have to say that if people were putting up tents outside my front door, as they are doing in Bellingham right now, as a lot of them are doing, I'm not saying these are bad people. I'm saying potentially they have the ability, potentially, to cause harm to the inhabitants of those houses. What do you think about that situation, Jim?
Well, we already have very specific cases where some of the homeless people there were rioting against the city hall, forced the mayor to escape out the back door. We have cases where a week later, when they were trying to clear the area, people driving by were accosted, hit in the head with an axe, and then another homeless person from the camp, or I don't even know if you want to call them homeless because they're there with a political purpose, used a baseball bat to help, you know, to beat people. You have another man that accosted an 11-year-old child getting into their parents' car at a baseball field next to a young girl next to a homeless camp. We've got numerous situations like that. The sheriff's department, who's located right there next to the city hall, had to put out a warning to the people working in city hall to call the 911 and ask specifically for a sheriff to come respond because Bellingham PD would not. Bellingham Right. Police Department would not do it. So yeah, they're a serious problem. And a lot of these people are criminals. A lot of these people have drug addictions. A lot of them are alcoholics. A lot of them are psychologically unstable. Some of them are homeless, but most of them have a problem and made bad decisions in their life. And you know what? They're going to have to wake up, and somebody's got to set the right policy. It ain't about more money. It ain't about more facilities. It's about the right policy to either make these people make a decision to go to either a shelter or go to a detainment facility to get them off the street and quit destroying neighborhoods. And you know what? the mayor's finally having to respond because people are going into the more richer neighborhoods, and those people are worried. Now, all the leftists down there are beginning to get worried about it.
Yeah. Well, it was kind of like what happened in Seattle when the rioters, I'll call them anarchists, people were killed by the anarchists. That's a proven fact in Seattle. You cannot persuade me to believe anything but that. It got very serious when the anarchists went into the mayor's neighborhood. Then she got upset.
Yeah, that's what it takes. You know, unfortunately, we have very weak politicians that are appealing to this demographic, this small, very, very small segment of the population that are trying to destabilize this nation. And they are responding very negatively to people's, the rest of the nation's, you know, and the rest of the population's concerns until it actually comes directly at them. And when it comes at them, then they have to make a change. And unfortunately, there are so many people that are being hurt for it. And of course, even the people that need the help, you know, some legitimate people that need the help, they need support. They need a community that's there. They don't need this type of anarchy. They don't need this type of, you know, basically unstable and illegitimate policymaking, you know, that's basically disturbing.
Agree 100%. There's really no other way to look at that. Jimmy, thanks so much.